This is CUR 1350.
Hello, this is Michael Quintario. This is Burst the Bubble on the 8th of August. Although we don't even know if this show is going out, half the studio appears to be dead. And I've got with me to help me in this strangely quiet studio, Rich Wareham and Andrew Holding.
Hello there.
Hi there.
And Rich and Andrew are in fact two students on our training program, so you might be hearing them having their own shows, assuming they actually learn anything from watching me press these buttons and in general just blabber on a bit.
Well, if nothing else, we'll learn how to work the studio when half it's not working.
Definitely how to cope in a disaster.
Exactly.
Okay, so yeah, as I said, this is CUR 1350 and this is Burst the Bubble. Yes, this is Burst the Bubble, and we've got a nice selection of stories for you this week. But to start off, we're just going to be a bit self-promoting here with the news that radio audiences, although possibly not for this show, seeing as it's possible no one is actually listening to it. thank the wonders of modern technology there. Is that radio audiences have reached an all-time high in the UK. Numbers up apparently across the sector. Things like BBC Radio 4 going up, but Sport, Top 5 Live and Talk Sport also having record audiences. It seems to be something going on across the entire radio kingdom. So
I have a theory for why that might be.
Go on then.
Well, I certainly can't switch my television on anymore because it requires like boot up sequences and pressing four different remotes. Whereas the radio is easy. You switch it on and then it just tunes straight away nowadays.
I think the only person who has gone down from what I read in the news is poor Chris Evans, having actually got more listeners since he took over from Terry Wogan, has now lost some to Radio 1.
Goodness me, it must be the first time Radio 2 has ever lost listeners to Radio 1, surely.
Well, that's what Radio 1 claim. They might have gone somewhere completely different, like Radio 6, now that everyone's aware it exists.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't heard of Radio 6 before they were going to shut it down. Apparently it's very good. I still haven't listened to it.
Apparently it's saved now.
Yes, I heard this. Unfortunately, in similar vein to the way I can't work my television, I can't work my digital radio either. So when I switch it on, it tunes to Absolute 80s, being the first radio station alphabetically that's transmitting, and that's just brilliant to me because it's actually superb music.
Okay, and
it also has Matt Berry doing all the voiceovers for it, which just wins because it sounds like listening to the It Crowd.
Sorry, couldn't quite catch that, Rich. Can you move a little bit closer to your microphone?
Oh, sorry, yes. It's also got Matt Berry doing the voiceovers for it, which is just superb because it makes it sound like you're listening to the It Crowd.
I'm not a big fan of that, actually.
Really?
I don't know. It just feels too close to home somehow.
Well, it's true. You do look an awful lot like Moss, just without the hair, without the glasses, and with a different shaped face. But apart from that, identical.
Wow, that's not the first time I've been compared to a TV show character.
But never Moss before.
No.
Dare I ask you the first one was?
So someone said that, like skin colouring and the hat that I was wearing at the time, I looked like Ali G.
I can see that, actually. Yes, you do have a certain Ali G. So certainly in that vest, which the listeners can't see, unless they're on the webcam, it is a very Ali G sort of football. Is that a football top or a
rugby league?
Rugby league. Well, it shows how much I know, doesn't it?
I can agree that he's male in the Ali G relation, but I'm not so sure Ali G was middle class white.
Perhaps you should try putting a TKZ on your head and seeing if that helps the...
since this is radio, we can pretend that I've got a TKZ now. And
oh, that's true, yes. I bought one from home with me, just in case anyone was compared to Ali G.
Is it the correct size?
Well, you know, I brought a range of sizes, all the way from a small Chinese-style teapot up to sort of 20 or 30-person behemoth.
I once saw a giant teacup in a shop window and was very disappointed when I actually looked at the sign next to it and realised it was supposed to be a plant pot.
No, really? Oh, that's very sad.
They're really disappointed because they have a hole in from the bottom, which means you can't even use it for tea if you wanted to.
Now, you see, I got given the other day a large mug which had XL written on the side of it, and the joke being this is an obscenely huge mug that could never be any use. And I was in on this this joke for quite some time before I went to Starbucks today and accidentally ordered a large coffee. And
They don't call, they don't have large coffees
well,
in
whatever
Starbucks.
It's called venti or grande or whatever. I just asked for a large black coffee because I'm English.
Up itself, eh?
Exactly, up itself, eh? Exactly.
Expensive, eh?
And it comes in a bucket with a handle. I was astonished. And this is even larger than my XL comedy huge mug. I did bounce off the walls for a bit after that coffee, I have to say.
How many people had to slave away in a coffee field to make that for you, though? That's the question.
Well, apparently Starbucks is all fair trade now. They had big signs saying this. They also said that by buying their coffee, you're helping some charity. If you looked in the small print, it was like 0.0001p of your £5.70 went towards them.
Also, if I remember correctly, to make fair trade coffee, you actually have to buy into the scheme. So unless you're well off, coffee maker countries, you can't actually become fair trade. Yeah, I read an article probably in The Guardian about it.
It's like a Guardian sort of article, isn't it?
I doubt it was in the Daily Mail.
The Daily Mail would say, you know, fair trade, that's just encouraging people to come over here and drink our coffee instead of making it for us or something. I can just hear it in their head.
There was a great one of these cartoons in the newspaper the other day of a load of Native Americans building a wall and saying all these people are coming into our country and not taking our culture or something.
I'd love to see a smoke signal equivalent to the Daily Mail. That'd be superb.
I think on that note, I'm going to put some music on before which says more stuff horribly bad. That was Shake Your Tail Feather from the Blues Brothers there, and I apologise for the slight gap. Our computer froze up. Very healthy.
The entire studio appears to be falling apart piece by piece. The computer's hard drive filled up during the play out there.
So, yes, we struggle manfully on.
Luckily, Andy here had the foresight to use legacy paper technology. Was it Andy or was it you?
I brought along my printouts of all the news stories. So the fact we have no internet means that we can survive down here.
It's amazing. No internet and still, we're working. I mean, the internet...
It's like a nuclear bunker, actually, in a way. We could survive down here if you bought, like, cans of beans.
You could, yes. Although the fact the internet's down shows there cannot have been a nuclear war, because one thing you know about the internet is it can survive a nuclear war. So the fact the internet is down is good. It means civilization is still there. We just can't talk to it.
I remember reading somewhere that you can survive off Guinness alone. So all we need is a large supply of Guinness down here.
I heard that as well, except for the person who told that to me said that you also need bananas for potassium as well as Guinness. I think they may have been taking the mix somewhat.
I'm also wondering if the amount of Guinness you would need to drink a day would also give you severe liver problems. But, you know,
I don't know.
It's an controlled experiment that I'm willing to risk. I don't want to be the control, by the way.
No, you want to be the control, because that means you're not being exposed to massive amounts of Guinness.
I like Guinness.
Oh, okay. I'll be the control
perhaps we should do something like those milkshake shops that have sprung up around town and just kind of like whisk the Guinness and the bananas together.
When I'm in one of my particularly annoying moods, I'm going to walk into that, because the one on Mill Row proudly proclaims, you name it, we shake it. And I can name
bricks.
Quite a large... Yeah, exactly, bricks. You know, a cow, a whole cow. I want that shaken, please.
Have you seen the Will It Blend internet videos?
I have indeed. They're a must see, I would say.
Well, they definitely suggest that you can make an iPod milkshake, and let's leave it at that.
Oh, goodness, yes. I smoke. Don't breathe it.
Oh, but moving on from one part of the internet, we're going to another topic which is favoured of some bits of the internet, namely UFOs.
Oh, yes, that would be the black background green text brigade, I like to call them.
That's the Matrix.
Well, they're much the same people, UFOologists and Matrix people. They're the sort of people who read very deep things into Inception.
Oh, I haven't seen Inception.
I really want to see Inception. I've not seen it yet.
Oh my!
So there are three of us, possibly no audience, and one person who's seen a movie.
Well, in which case then I'll not talk about Inception, because I am literally the only person who's speaking here that has seen it.
Possibly in civilization, unless we go over your nuclear bunker theory.
Well, as I said, known internet cannot be in a nuclear war. The story, yes.
Apparently, Churchill covered up UFOs.
That's Churchill, the president, the prime minister,
not the dog,
not the college. The dog. The insurance company doesn't want people to know that people claim insurance damage from UFOs, so they're covering it up. They're going, oh, no.
Well, I do think one of the great things in this story is someone had a bet on with some gambling company, I don't know what you call them, and it was 100-for-1 bet that aliens would be discovered before the end of the 20th century.
Oh dear.
And when obviously he wanted them to pay out, he approached the government for evidence. I mean, you would have thought that if they were going to tell people, they would have done it, but
they wouldn't do it just because I had a bet with someone.
Yeah. Anyway, just
come off and go, oh dear, someone's had a bet. We've got to release these top secret documents. I don't know why they've suddenly gone a bit north. And it's just me.
It's a Yorkshire division of the government. Oh blum, Bayek. He's only got a bet on it.
There are some great cases, because you know they're releasing all the files now, because basically when the Freedom of Information Act came in 2005, they got so many requests for UFO files because everyone, there seem to be the people who write to the Freedom Information Request.
Well, exactly, yes.
Those and journalists looking at expenses. The two categories. Journalists looking at MP expenses and people looking for evidence of UFOs.
Anyway, so, it's costing the MOD so much to fill out these Freedom of Information Requests, they decided to hand it all to the National Archive so they could save money. And that's why they're releasing all the documents at the moment, and that's why
we know that Churchill tried to cover up UFOs.
Yeah.
I think we should point out, before we go any further, he didn't have evidence of alien life that he was trying to cover up.
Well, we don't know. He covered it up. It's all missing. That's what they say.
He ordered the UFO sighting be kept secret to prevent mass panic.
Well, it was clearly a good one.
Do we know that there's actually Winston Churchill? I know how civil servants abbreviate things. I mean, did it just say, like, there's in these files where it has, like, the section called evidence for UFOs, it just said sent to WC. And everyone assumes that Winston Churchill, but actually they might have just flushed it down the loo.
Or Little Winnie.
Or Little
Winnie. That well-known nickname for him. It could have also been, because there are some really great things in these files, and you can go and look at them and check that these aren't just me lying to you, of people calling out, like, police officers in the middle of the night going, there was a UFO, and when the cops get there, you know, having brought out a squad car and a few people, they discover it's a drunk person who has seen a light hovering in the sky. And those two cops, then finally, after discussion, agree that it is the moon.
there's a story in the news I heard about sometime in the past few months, I think it was, about some old woman who had phoned up the fire brigade because there was a fire. She thought a TV was on fire, and they got there, and apparently there's this digital channel which just broadcasts a fire.
Oh my lord. See, this comes back to not being able to use televisions. You see, they're dangerous. There's no way you can mistakenly think your radio's on fire, well, unless they're broadcasting fire FM and
fire noises
24/7
fire FM. Fire noises 24/7.
That's the way forward.
I do like the noise of a cracking fire. There might be a market there.
It's got to be true. Now you have this exciting digital radio. What I have learned, however, from my tough failure to use digital radios, you have to be as close to the alphabet as possible. So maybe AAA+ fire noises FM is the way to go forward.
But how do you fit adverts in there?
Well, possibly you want to have quadruple A advert FM first.
there was, I know there was definitely a bird song channel.
That's right, yes. Unfortunately, it was in the bees, so only people who knew how to tune the radio would find it.
Oh, well, apparently it was incredibly popular. It was just put there as a holding pattern, essentially for that channel, where it was going to be a real channel, and it actually got listening figures that beat some of the actual radio stations.
Have you come across numbers stations talking about going back to conspiracy theories?
Because we do love a good conspiracy theory.
We do love a good conspiracy theory. So they're radio stations that mysteriously just broadcast streams of people reading out numbers, and people are wondering what they are.
And people talking about them being spy messages.
Exactly. I think they're just a service run by Channel 4, so people can play Countdown at home. Tune in to get the numbers, write them down, play Countdown with it. That's what I would use them for.
All the UFOs.
All the UFOs broadcasting Countdown to the space in general.
To be honest, if you're an alien and you come to this planet, what quality program are you going to be most
That's
interested
true.
In?
I mean, you'd first of all watch 15 to 1 to warm yourself up for Countdown, and then there you go.
Is 15 to 1 still on?
Well, I like to think so. I don't know whether the chap who presents it has died yet, but he was going on a bit.
Question or nominate?
That didn't actually stop Countdown broadcasting.
Oh, that is a good point, actually. It did get rid of Carol Vorderman, though, and she didn't die, but
she hung on for a while.
She hung on for a while, yeah.
A bit too long.
I like the idea of aliens coming down to Earth and coming out of the spaceship and saying, take us to Carol Vorderman. Being our emissary on Earth.
Anyway, bring this topic back to where...
Oh, yes, UFOs, yes.
UFOs.
Hang on, that's my job.
I just want to read out this great quote, because I met Nick Pope the other day, because...
The person who's been doing this research.
Yeah. Well, no, he's this person that everyone wheels out to discuss about UFOs, because he worked for the MOD in their, basically, their X-Files department. He's very upset.
I wish I'd got the X-Files music to play now. It'd be great to just have that going on in the background, so we can, if you'd all just imagine it, possibly me and Rich will just provide some
How about everyone at home hum it to themselves?
poor Nick Pope, he's sitting there just gutted that he didn't have a Gillian Anderson when he had his job. But Yeah, he had this great comment when he was talking about why the MOD.
It's really off-putting, isn't it?
Sorry,
the great quote, sorry.
This is why the MOD researched UFOs for 7 years. According to Nick Pope, is whilst the MOD didn't have a corporate belief in Martians, they definitely did have a corporate belief in Russians.
And Russians and Martians, well, they're both red, aren't they? So.
Well, they were grey, or little green men.
Oh, well, I mean, Martians are clearly red, right? I mean, we're... Oh, well, okay. I was about to say Earth is green, we're not green.
Do they both have a fixation on anal probes?
Well, who knows? We should steer away from this topic.
we're skirting worryingly close to causing an international diplomatic incident here, I feel.
Yes, I should point out the Russians are the same colour as us. Not that it should matter, of course.
You've just offended so many people.
Exactly. Yeah, I should just stop.
I'm just turning Rich's mic off for a little while. I'm putting him in a penalty box for that.
You can just see him. He's just talking away in the corner. Begging to be heard.
So, Andy, these UFOs then?
I think, to be honest, the trouble with UFOs is that unidentified flying object means nothing more than no one had a clue what it is. And of, again, these are statistics, that of the UFOs sort of reported to the MOD, 80% were sort of misidentified objects, i.e. they were planes. The next 15%, no one knew what they were because the person who gave the information about it didn't fill out enough of the form.
And the last form?
The MOD, being who they are, and this was obviously quite a while ago, to start, have a P-45 for your tax, P-60, you know, all these things. Yeah, they had a da-da-da-da-da form.
It was the alien form XXX. Hang on, that makes it sound dodgy.
Yeah,
I was thinking top secret.
That's the alien prostitution form. So the last 5%, they were unexplained. And that clearly just means that no one could work it out. Nick would say that these are obviously far more interesting than I'm putting across now, but I generally think it just meant that no one could understand it.
Yeah, which can come back now, so long as he agrees not to start mouthing off like that again.
Start international incidents, you mean?
And get us shut down by Ofcom as well.
We should be grateful. This isn't probably being transmitted.
Well, we shall see.
I just like the idea of UFO cover-up just being, there's a UFO, quick! Big blanket! Whee!
Anyway, we seem to like Doctor Who on this show and conspiracy theories, so we should point out that that was also a Doctor Who episode with the Churchill and the Daleks.
That's
clearly what this is all about, and that's what they've covered up.
I thought for a moment you were going to say there was a Doctor Who episode about someone covering up a baddie with a blanket. that would be about the level of the special effects of the old Doctor Who.
To be fair, most of the baddies looked like they were already covered with a blanket in Doctor Who. So
I'm pretty sure there was at least 50, maybe 100 episodes where they did cover up a Dalek with a blanket. It was the general logic of how you defeat the most powerful alien in the universe.
You throw a blanket over there on your eye stalk.
Or go upstairs.
Did Daleks not have any distance vision? Can they not tell how far things are away if they've just got the one eye stalk?
Well, they've got sonar built into their sort of spheroids.
You're just making it up.
Well,
hemorrhoids.
Okay, I'm sorry to say this to you, but the whole of Doctor Who is actually made up. Right? Me making up a bit more of it is not adding to the sum total of made up Doctor Who-ness.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, so it is, actually. It's not adding to the concept.
To the credibility.
To the credibility.
It's not reducing it. Yeah, no. You're next going to tell me they don't really regenerate the actor.
I would love that to be the case. I'd love to think that... what's his name?
David Tennant.
No, the first guy.
Oh, the first one.
William Hartnell. William Hartnell is actually still alive in the guise of Matt Smith. And every time
I
have this... Well, I suppose, as the character, yes. I don't think he literally is, though. I know, I was very sad when I found that out.
I'm just going to cry a bit.
Yeah. This is usually the bit of the show where I invite everyone to email and text in.
But since we're not even sure if our computer is going to survive...
Our computer won't take any more emails or texts.
I tell you what, people can sort of like send us Morse code by sort of seismic sound waves, and I'll put my feet both on the floor together, and I'll try to like pick them up during the course of the show.
So if anyone out there has survived a potential nuclear holocaust... A holocaust? Apocalypse. I like that too, perhaps.
You can have both
at the same time.
Yeah, all manner of nuclear disasters.
Lots of people being killed by nuclear bombs or aliens or something like that.
Or Sainsbury's in centre of town shutting for a week. That would cause a mass panic.
Oh, that it did almost. That, did you got special emails.
There was like special articles in Varsity or TCS like saying what to do when Sainsbury's is shut.
We got
there
emails.
Is no food.
We got emails as well. And really one of the things was, well, you could just go to Hall. And I was like, no, it's not got that bad yet.
Or you could just go to M&S in town.
Us postdocs don't get to go to Hall.
Yeah, that's true.
Aww. Not more than twice a week or something.
Aww.
And I eat more than twice a week before anyone starts asking.
So possibly I shouldn't know. Yeah.
The new post-doc diet.
Only eating twice a week, and then it's only Hall food.
We don't sleep either.
That's apart from the lectures.
Is that because we're actually doing work rather than students?
I just realised I'm in a nuclear bunker with two postdocs.
Oh, that's right.
With two doctors.
You're the least academic qualified, so you become the bin man in our new society.
We would like to say we are totally approachable doctors and we do not want to rub our qualifications in your face.
I didn't even mention it.
And they're not medical doctors, so one of us gets a cut, I've got a first aid certificate.
I had that conversation with someone actually today in Starbucks talking about that. I was saying, you know, I always worry about sitting on a plane because, you know, I do have doctor in front of my name, whether that will be in the middle of the Atlantic and suddenly someone will have a heart attack and they'll say, you, look at the panning fest, you're the only doctor on board. And then I thought to myself, well, if we're in the middle of the Atlantic, we're over international water, so there's no negligence suits that can be done. I might as well have a go.
To be honest, if I had a choice between you or some of the other people I met on international flights,
I would say on the internet.
On the internet, yeah. anyone who's sort of on an international flight, assuming there isn't a nurse there or, you know, anyone with any medical training, I would rather go for PhD rather than the high school dropout. Maybe I'm just being totally unfair.
You're a bit biased. Anyway, have either of you got a first aid certificate? I've got a first aid certificate.
I did.
Yeah. Well, perhaps that means that you should then become in our new society the doctor, the general sort of, ironically, the only doctor in our new society, just instead of these fake doctors that we have.
I think originally the doctor came from people who'd done a lot of learning and who had done like the equivalent of a PhD.
They were learned people, yeah.
And then the medical doctor came out of that rather than the other way around. I was surprised. Turned out.
I think one problem we have in our new society of the three of us is it's only going to last one generation.
Well, yes. Well, now, having said that, you know, medical science is amazing. So assuming the first aid certificate goes as far as sort of gender reassignment surgery on the field.
Whilst I have cloned organisms, they're generally monocellular.
You just have to clone one cell several billion times and put them back together again. It's not that hard, surely.
I'll clone them and you put them together.
Okay. Can't be much worse than Technic Lego.
And as we come up with more plans, more plans for this future society, which is obviously needed given we're cut off from, well, everything down here. Why don't the last few survivors of the human race out there just sit back and relax? And that was a love song by Sarah Bareilles, I think is how you pronounce the name. I'm not 100% sure. Sarah Bareilles.
It's good enough for people to Google, it's good enough for people to find out.
That's to inspire all of you last remaining survivors of the human race to get together.
So that's very nice. We did a public service announcement, didn't we? Our new society will survive just without us in it.
I did hear at one point that we've gone a bit silent at the moment, I think. But I did hear that if Radio 4 went silent for a certain amount of time at some point, that was actually the switch to activate the nuclear warheads.
Yes, which is why they've never transmitted the famous musical work 4 minutes and 23 seconds. It's in entirety. 23 seconds before the end, there'd be no more civilization.
I've always wondered, does Trident actually exist? The whole idea that you have three nuclear submarines going around, you know, two out sea at any one time, and if anyone wipes out the UK, they'll retaliate. Now, once you've said that, you could save so much money by not having...
That is true.
Submarine.
That is true. But
so is there just somewhere underground with a very large bunker of champagne?
You just have to assume that if there wasn't actually any Trident submarines, then all the security services of our people whom we wish to suggest that we do have Trident submarines would find out by now.
It's quite hard, I think, to find out what Trident does because, I don't know, nuclear.
But if they didn't exist, that would be a sort of, you know, conspiracy theory that's up there with sort of, you know, we landed on the moon in 1947, but no one told anyone.
and Doctor Who is real.
Yes, Doctor Who. Well, it's not really a conspiracy theorist. That's just a delusion that some people have, I think.
Oh, well,
although I wish Amy Pond were real, to be honest with you.
I hate to break it to you, the actor is actually real.
Well, she may be real, but I don't know if you've ever seen Doctor Who Confidential. She's not Amy Pond in reality. You know,
she doesn't jump into bed with time-travelling people.
Well, no, that is possibly
you're
true.
You're not a time-travel Uber, so she wouldn't be interested.
He's going forward quite convincingly here. I mean, right now, he is definitely further in the future than he was a minute ago.
That's true. I'm travelling at 1 second per second.
I'm speechless on that one.
Exactly,
I'll admit, he's right.
Okay, and let's go back to vaguely towards the news again. Because we've had the news in the past week that there might be meat and milk that has come vaguely in some sort of roundabout way from cloned cows.
Yes, I believe that there was two cloned bulls who were being born cloned, unsurprisingly, had mated with some female cows, or some cows, as they're called, and the offspring had in some way entered the food chain.
Well, this is the thing. The story originally, when I read it, was that they had taken eggs from one cow and sperm from another cow and
I read that halfway
between two, because one was in the Netherlands, one was in America, and they had a baby cow, and I was going, that's IVF.
Not cloning.
But it did later come out that, I mean, this is what you've got right, is that the daddy cow, the bull,
the daddy cow, we've got into like a sort of kids education
I deal
thing.
With
is there going to be a Caesar cow with mummy cow and daddy cow? It can be a rival to Peppa Pig.
Anyway, back to I'm starting it all my time.
Meanwhile, back at the point.
that was so long ago. But yeah, so I thought it was an IVF cow, and I did discover, yeah, as you say, the parental donor of DNA was a cloned cow. And then the baby cow, which at the end of this was used for milk.
Cow.
The calf.
Oh, that was very sweet there.
As I say, I'm dealing with a 3-month-year-old baby at the time. I know many a different farm animal noise.
Okay. That's perfect for our Caesar the Cow series.
so we have milk that came from a calf that was born to a cow that was...
Via
IVF to a bull who was born itself through cloning.
Yes.
Wow, that's more degrees of separation than I need to get to Kevin Bacon. Okay,
and he tastes a pig.
And I don't think there's any bacon in me, put it that way.
You hope not. Anyway, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But and the thing is, the FDA in the US, or whoever it is, FSA, I think it might be.
Financial Services Authority.
Well, that's what it says on this BBC article, the FSA, but I thought it was the FSA. No, it's the Food Standards Agency, that's
okay,
sure.
Yeah.
I think it's the FDA and the US, the FSA over here. They can talk about novel foods that they need to get authorization of this.
Isn't that like anything Heston Blumenthal cooks?
Or Sunny Delight? I don't think that's anything real.
But that's got vegetable on it.
Is it really?
Well, it did used to.
I'm surprised it hasn't got diesel in, to tell you the truth.
Oh, careful.
But see you for Lila.
Other horrible brands are available.
Anyway, as we digress again,
I mean, anything that Rich says should surely be taken as his opinion.
Oh, yes, this is all entirely my opinion. It's not reflect the opinion of Cambridge University, CUR 1350.
Or reality.
Yeah.
May I also point out any of my opinions are actually also Richard's, and therefore sue him. It's a great legal loophole.
I don't think it works like that, Andy.
So, yeah, but... Anyway, whoever it is, this Food Standards Agency said that these cows are exactly the same as like identical twins. Not that I ever have eaten an identical twin on purpose. I've never checked. But they go and say, like, yeah, it's fine. But you then go and look at that all cloned animals have this thing called large organ syndrome, that all their organs inside their body are a bit big.
Could it not just be that their skin is a bit small?
You know what? I don't know.
I mean, that would be, you know, Occam's razor. Now, all their organs are big, or the thing holding them is a bit small.
They're born as large babies, though.
Oh, well, there we are, then, you see. It means the skin grows too fast and then stops.
Maybe.
What? Move on.
But the point I was trying to make was, they say it's all the exact same, but then the babies aren't the same. So we just Does anyone actually have a good answer? I really
If you think about the identical twin analogy, you know, normally in identical twins there's a good twin and a bad twin. So perhaps just naturally the non-cloned one is the good twin, and in actual fact all the clone ones are born with big bodies and little goatee beards. Maybe the evil ones.
I know some of my identical twins, and I'm pretty sure that
I think I know the twins you're talking about, and I know who the evil one is out of those.
I know some identical twins. I keep telling them they're not. They have different blood groups, but they insist they're identical twins. If anyone doesn't understand genetics, that's impossible.
I love the names of the bulls in this. There's a Dundee paratrooper.
Dundee paratrooper is a bull. Oh my lord!
Yeah, and your bull is called Dundee Perfect.
That's brilliant.
It's presumably the third bull would be called Dundee Cake or something.
No, it had to begin with a P.
Dundee Perfect, its meat has been intercepted before entering the food chain.
Has anyone out here come across the Belgian Blue cows?
The Belgian Blue, no.
Blue, as in the colour.
Oh, Blue. Not Blue as in sort of the jungle person book. From the Jungle Book, no. Yeah. No, I haven't, no.
No, because, you know, everyone worries about the genetic material, and obviously when you eat this meat, if you get the genetic material into you, that isn't how digestion works. You would destroy. But Belgian Blue cows are these cows that have a genetic defect on purpose. They're bred like this over many years, so they don't stop growing muscle, which of course makes a really good steak. But it also means when you see photographs of them, it's sort of a cross between that macho bodybuilder, you know, rippling muscles, and a cow.
They're the Mr. Universe of the cow
exactly.
World.
It's a tragic deformity in, because it does occur in humans, and you get like babies who are ribbed like Mr. Universe, and that obviously is very sad for them. But people have bred this into cows to get really good tasty steaks, and that's just disturbing in my mind.
That's true.
No one questions
Well,
that.
The other thing is, I mean, talk about cloning food. All bananas are clones that you eat. You know, they're all cloned from a thing. Oh, navel oranges, if you buy a navel orange, they're cloned from a single fruit in the 1880s.
Yeah, I mean, people are okay with that because it basically doesn't involve anything rather than just chopping a bit off the plant and sticking it
in
some
more soil. Well, it's because they can understand the science, right? They can understand chopping a bit of a plant and planting it in the soil and it growing again. They just can't understand all the sort of molecular biology you need to do cloning.
Also, you'd be doing very well to get a banana to breed since they have no seeds.
Well, that's true.
That's because they've been
because they've been bred to
have no seeds and then cloned.
But it's evolutionary. That isn't something man's done. They were seedless before man started cultivating them.
Well, it's good that we got the last possible sort of generation before.
Well, there's only about five types of banana. They come from, if you go to the Caribbean, they're so pantines. They're these big fruit, which are the bananas with seeds, sort of their relation. But this fact with cloning themselves means there's only five real varieties of banana, and the bananas your dad...
that's less varieties than Heinz has.
Yes,
yeah.
But the thing is, your parents, when they ate bananas, have eaten much bigger bananas because that banana no longer exists because of banana blight or whatever it was called. You know, wiped out that breed. So, the same thing's happened to the current one we have now. So, this is a big problem for countries which are banana republics, as it were, who live off banana produce. So, cloning there has had a really bad effect on the countries that use it for economy.
Well, it's next also week on Soft Fruit Monthly. Yeah.
It's also worrying for your Guinness and banana plan as well.
Yes,
that's true. You know, Guinness will breed naturally on its own, but bananas—they've got no seeds.
Does Guinness just come out well in Ireland?
Well, I like to think so. You know, at some point the Guinness well's going to run dry. We're going to have to have a horrific Guinness leak somewhere or somewhere. All across the Irish Sea.
We've got a Guinness leak. Oh, just stick some people there, they'll drink it.
Well, you say that, you know, the first time we start getting news reports of poor birds covered in Guinness limping around, being drunk. It's going to be awful. Going to have Greenpeace out there.
It wouldn't be the first time something Irish has entered America, would it? I mean, they all went there during the potato famine.
Well, you know, I have to say, most of my knowledge of Irish history is based upon the film Titanic, so probably I'm not the best person to look for confirmation there.
I was hopeful someone knew history. Anyway, well, there's certainly a lot of people I met in America who claim to be Irish, but don't seem to be Irish.
Is that Irish with an O, like Irish?
They're Irish.
They're
Irish. And when you ask them, they've been in America for 22,000 generations, but they met
America hasn't existed for 22,000
No, generations. America has, just like the particular people who make up America.
US of A, North America, the continent.
Forgive
South
me to
America.
Be hyperboling stupid comparisons on a comical radio show.
Yeah, how dare you? You're supposed to be the one who's coming in here with the science.
Okay, I think
you're supposed to be the sensible one. We leave Rich for the outlandish comments.
I'm going to be behaving myself.
Oh, okay. It looks like we've got an opening there, then, Andy. How do you fancy that?
Oh, well, I'll stick with four, five generations since they were Irish. How's that?
There we go. That
probably meshes with Titanic timescale.
Yeah. Well, I'm more Irish than them.
I think I'm Russian, actually, coming back to the Russian topic. That's actually true. I think on my mother's side, I'm Russian.
of his great, because in my case it's great grandparents. So I've got a Scottish great grandparent, an Irish great grandparent, a Spanish great grandparent.
Wow,
I'm a quarter Greek.
Which leg?
Oh, that's an odd one.
How many great grandparents can you have?
Is it eight?
I don't know. I can't do that many pounds of two in my head. On Genealogy Weekly next week.
The only thing I'm not out of the British Isles is Welsh, which I'm grateful for.
Ooh.
My neighbours Welsh.
You'd be careful, you know, you might have your mic turned out, you'll be barred.
Might get point in the penalty box.
Yeah, well, I can see Michael's finger hovering over the side. Not sure which one of us to put down.
He puts himself down.
I'm just going to vanish and walk away.
In disgust, he's left the studio, he's gone. So we can go back to the news because
the point of the show. I forgot that.
Yes.
You're talking about the news now. Can I come back? I'll come back.
Let's talk about wine vending machines because, you know, I like the idea of being able to walk out here and put some money in a machine and get a bottle of wine because, frankly, this discussion, we all need it.
No, that's true. I mean, how do they do age verification on this?
Apparently, you get a swipe card.
Ah, right. Okay.
I personally think that's flawed because, I mean, not that when I was a teenager I may have ever drunk alcohol before I was 18.
But imagine a hypothetical Andy.
Who allegedly
drunk alcohol.
May have discovered the idea that ID with no, which you use a computer with, doesn't check your face.
Yes, that's,
I mean,
true.
Seems like they will have CCTV cameras on it, but I'm guessing they might be behind you as you look at the machine.
That doesn't remind me of a news story that was in the news a few weeks ago, which was about cigarette vending machines in Japan, who came with the great idea of using facial recognition to tell how old you were. And for some reason, these
everyone
machines...
Everyone started wearing fake beards?
Well, everyone started printing out pictures of Sean Connery, because apparently he completely fooled the machine. Normally, like, a picture wouldn't work, they knew it wasn't real, but the particular picture of Sean Connery would just do it. So all these sort of Japanese teenagers who wanted to smoke had pictures of Sean Connery in their bag.
But you know why that worked? It's because all Japanese people look really young. Am I allowed to say that? I always think Oriental people just seem to age far better than us.
That's a compliment. I think you're allowed to do that.
Okay, yeah. I'll go there. I think they're like,
it's not racism if it's positive.
Okay, I'm worried now. So this machine apparently will breathalyze you because there's a huge problem apparently in Pennsylvania.
Someone else can just breathe into the tube.
I'm worried about. Do I have to put my mouth in the same tube that everyone else, every drunk hobo has put their mouth on?
Well, not necessarily. Just you have a small bag with a valve on it or a bike pump, you know.
It's like the idea of someone going, where's the breathalyzer attachment for my pump?
Yeah. That sounds like something
different.
Ping! What I wonder about is, those vending machines I know, they just push the thing out and let it drop. I assume you're not going to do this with bottles of wine.
Well, you see, you can get wine in plastic bottles if you want the proper experience. Yeah, you really can. Yeah, I've seen them in Tesco's. They're called Vin Rouge.
I don't think that's the name of the bottle.
Well, it's supposed to be not the name of the bottle, but that's all that's written on them, and possibly apart from Tesco.
I got a £2.60 bottle of wine yesterday for cooking with, because, frankly, if you drink that stuff, you'll probably die. And the scary thing is, I reckon it's about £2.50 worth of tax on that.
Yeah, so 10p has gone on the wine itself.
So that's 10p. Oh, no, that includes the glass bottle.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So I reckon that wine...
Do you get some money back if you take the glass bottle back?
I'm worried. I really am. But it cooks fine, as long as you don't taste it.
So as long as you cook it and then throw it immediately away.
You can eat the meat, though. It's nicely marinating in it. It's good.
Well, if it's cloned already, you might as well put cheap wine on it.
Cheap cloned meat.
So we've actually not got much time left.
Oh goodness!
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this song quickly, and then while we're doing that, us in the studio will prepare to give you a news blitz. Just all the funniest things about all of these the other news stories that we've got, and then you'll get that. So look forward to that.
This is CUR 1350.
Hello, CUR 1350. This is Burstable, and now we're going to start a very quick news burst, starting with Rich.
Yes, the Premier League hopes to set up one of these new free schools, which presumably is a place where working class children can come and hope to be adopted by wealthy Russian billionaires.
Christian shop manager, he dissuades would-be armed robber by preaching to him about God. The guy held a gun at him, and then the shop owner spent 5 minutes persuading the man he was doing something wrong. The person then admitted they were holding a replica gun and left the shop.
There's an ice island, a 100 square mile ice island has broken off Greenland. Apparently the biggest one for 48 years. And I'm sure there was a kids' TV show featuring animals on something like that.
And there was frustration as on the French side of the Channel Tunnel, the doors failed to open, causing all the passengers to have to go back to Kent, which meant that alcohol sales in the continent fell by 37% that day.
Another story in a shot, a pensioner tackles a knifeman in Bath, aged 75, Peter Greenside, leapt over and grabbed the guy and they actually arrested this person.
Did he wear a towel after he left out the bath?
He doesn't think he's a hero, the adrenaline cut in, but being a pensioner, of course, he then went on to say, I'm a bit shaken up, have bruised my knees and back.
Well, interesting being that story, there were actually another few people there involved in that one. They weren't deemed so newsworthy there, apparently.
What was the pension doing with several people in his bath? That's what I wanted.
No, bar, not having a bath.
Not having, oh, right, in the bath, right. Had the whole of Bath in his bath, that's bizarre.
The Roman bath.
A young girl has been told, a young girl called Julie Murphy has been told that she can reopen her lemonade stand after being told that kids don't have to shell out $120 for a health permit after all. That's per day, apparently. State law requires that.
That's a lot of glasses of lemonade.
In northeast Portland. And apparently he talked with the county chairman, Cogan, talked with the girl's mother, Fife, for 5 to 10 minutes to apologise. That's a long apology.
That is a long apology, yes.
I'm really, 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 3 minutes later, really sorry.
Was he down on his knees,
groveling away? Although, having said that, I mean, I've been to America. I know how these things work, right? They have the price written on the menu, and then when you actually get there and pay for it, they also add all the taxes onto it. So surely the kids should have just done that. Like, the lemonade is 50 cents a glass, and then when you actually come to pay for it, that's actually $3, you know, with all the local taxes and the health permit put on the top of it.
Also, getting a radio angle in, apparently a local radio station offered to sponsor the lemonade stand for Julie, so that even if they had tried to get her to pay $120 a day, she would still have been able to do it.
That would have been awesome advertising. I mean, she could have made an empire out of that, a lemonade empire. Could have been rivaling Starbucks in the sort of lemonade space.
I like that. I think it goes back with radio audiences going up to make us feel that even when we're just talking to nobody, and like we are at the moment, we're still part of a thing that does good.
There's
in the
a relatively
world.
Interested looking hedgehog in the corner of the studio at the moment.
Where?
They're just it's run away. He shouldn't have made such loud noise.
Oh, I think you're lying again.
And well, the difference between lying and telling the truth is only the difference between Doctor Who and reality.
Oh, well, we've already covered that several times.
And so, guys, what's your predictions for the news for the next week in the last 30 seconds we've got?
Well, I think that the Prime Minister is actually going to resign and be replaced by a conglomerate entity.
Someone already knows that they've eaten Paul the Psychic Octopus. Made a great paella.
Sorry.
I think I've just wiped Michael out.
I think you've broken me a bit there. So, yeah, I'd just like to say thank you to Andy and Rich. I hope the rest of their training goes well. Thank you for listening, if you were.
If there's anybody out there at all.